been a huge welcome from myself and Adrian Marsh, our Group Finance Director. As always, we are very appreciative of the time he's taken to come and listen to our results, the results for the 6 months to the end of October, so just over a month ago. So by way of introduction, we're pleased. We're pleased in what's happening in the market. As you know, we feel very passionately about packaging and the benefits that it can offer our customers. I'm delighted about how we're growing with our customers, how we're succeeding with our customers, how we're working more in partnership with our customers. And we've seen that come through in our volume growth. Europe's been a difficult economy for many years. We've seen us consistently taking market share, and in this 6 months, it's no different. We've taken more share from working with our customers. The focus on our big pan-Europeans is really working very well for us, but we're seeing some real structural changes in the way our customers and the final consumer is using packaging. Our packaging, sustainable packaging, fibre-based packaging, and that is driving growth in our market. In terms of our profits, they're absolutely where we expected them to be, and we're very pleased with that, delivering against all of our financial KPIs. Our net debt to EBITDA is at 2x. We've obviously made a large acquisition in the period. We see how the deleveraging of the group is coming through very quickly. We've had very substantial increases in raw material costs, but the recovery of those costs is absolutely where we expected it to be, and we're very pleased with that. And the US business. But let's cut to the chase here. We're absolutely delighted with the way that business has started with us. Strong trading performance in a strong market. The integration is, frankly, better than we thought it was going to be. That level of engagement with everybody there, these are wonderful people we've joined with, and the customer reaction to us. So we're seeing growth in that market and packaging ahead of where the group is. And on the back of all of that, we've raised our costs. Synergy target. It was 25 million. We're now very confident of achieving at least 30 million. And because of our continuing growth in Europe, because of our confidence in that market, we've acquired into Romania as well. We hope to complete that acquisition at the end of January. Romania's one of the fastest growing markets in Europe, and we're delighted to have taken a leadership position there. And because of the continued growth, our customers want us to have more capacity. We're seeing very strong growth in some regions, and we're announcing our intention to put down further new box capacity to really support our customers. And as we enter 2017, the second half is the run up to Christmas, there's good momentum. We've got a lot of Christmas presents to deliver over the next month, and we're going to deliver them, and we're delighted to be there. Adrian.
Thank you, Miles, and good morning, everyone. As always, I'm extremely honoured to be presenting our half-year results today, particularly in light of our recent acquisition of Interstate. As we described in our full-year results, this half will bear all the impacts of the paper price rises which occurred towards the end of our last financial year and early in this financial year. As we previously guided, our business model is well calibrated to recover these input prices, and as our results will show, we've made very good progress so far, and will continue to recover these price rises through the second half, and also, as you will, I'm sure, be aware, to start recovering the further price rises that have been announced recently. We remain focused on delivering consistent and sustainable return on average capital employed and growing our dividend in line with earnings growth at actual exchange rates. Although, as always, in order to explain what's been happening in this business, I'll be talking about the constant currency changes as I go through the presentation. You'll also notice from our results that in line with best practice, we've moved our reporting away from detailing certain items as exceptional and instead describe items which are now termed adjusting in order to continue to give a comparable guide to our underlying performance. Our volume growth of 5.2% represents a significant validation of our business model and is an extremely pleasing result for everyone in the business. Whilst we've obviously benefited from a slightly more positive macroeconomic environment in our European business, we've also made strong market share gains, particularly in acquired businesses. We continue to build on our full service offering to pan-European customers and are harvesting the benefits from our early investments in e-commerce capabilities. We're again able to report growth in every region. In terms of our financial measures, our main metric of return on average capital employed is at the top end of our range, reflecting both the dilutive impact of higher capital employed, particularly from the Interstate acquisition, but also the stability of our profits following a material increase in input costs. Our margins are exactly as we expected at the midpoint of our range, although whilst the impact of cost increases are being mitigated through box price rises, this obviously has the effect of increasing revenue and optically reducing margin from this time last year. Our gearing is at our target level of 2x EBITDA, and we remain focused on deleveraging in order to free up capacity to invest for future growth. This is a good indicator of our cash generative nature of our business and continues to give us the confidence to pursue further value-enhancing opportunities, such as our recently announced Romanian acquisition, which we hope to complete in the next month or so. So to our financial highlights. Revenue's up 14% and operating profit up 6%. I'll take you through these bridges in a moment. This growth has flowed through to earnings per share up 2% on constant currency basis and up 6% at actual exchange rate. The reason that the EPS growth is lower than profit growth is clearly due to the equity we raised in June for the Interstate deal, which then completed at the end of August. This has meant that we had 4 months of extra shares with only 2 months contribution from the acquired business in the period, so the dilution impact is pronounced in this period, but obviously will be more spread out come the full year. Dividend per share is up 6% in line with reported EPS growth. An asset turnover is another lever of return on capital, and you can see that this measure has held constant over the year despite the paper price rises. The overall picture for revenue is one of organic and inorganic growth, with an added tailwind from FX translation in the period, given the continued weakness of sterling and our relatively small UK business when compared to the rest of the group. There is the usual detailed slide at the back of your pack with more information on our currency exposure, both for our income and our debt. You can see the benefit of the businesses acquired in the past 12 months in the £40 million uplift, which relates to the incremental contribution from some of the small acquisitions we've made in Europe. There's also been a £110 million contribution from Interstate for the 2 months of ownership, which has performed at least as well as we expected when we valued the business, if not slightly better, but I'm sure more on that from Miles later. Corrugated box volumes contributed £76 million of uplift, with a further £34 million from other volumes, principally in our packaging services business. Sales price mix is up £81 million, reflecting the increase in prices that we've so far delivered in response to the change in underlying paper price. Turning to profit, there is the continued translational benefit from FX, the flow through from strong organic growth, and of course the benefit from acquisitions. The £15 million from Interstate since ownership is a pretty decent start, and I'm sure that you will all do the math and compare it to their reported 2015 and 2016 results. The access we received prior to deal announcement gave us the confidence to describe our expected financial returns and this underlines our assessment. It's worth noting that the results for Interstate include costs, which we estimated of around about £1 million relating to the effects of the hurricane, which resulted in a mandatory evacuation of our Ricegrove paper mill for 4 days. For me, it was a completely awe-inspiring experience about how the management and staff took all of this in their stride and the pride they took in the speed with which they prepared for and then operated these emergency plans before, during and after the hurricane passed. During our post-acquisition review, we've evaluated and since impaired an EBITDA loss-making energy operation. This gave around about £1 million depreciation benefit in this period, with a full year effect of around £7 million. So £7 million is a 12-month effect of that depreciation benefit we'll get from the asset impairment. On volumes, we're seeing the usual revenue benefit coming through to profits. I've talked about the sales price mix, and here you can see in the input column the size of the headwind we've experienced. It's certainly a first for me, but a credit to the business about how well we are recovering this. As I'm sure you've heard from others, when the industry is faced with such a large increase in input prices, the whole market is fully focused on price recovery. It also gives us the perfect opportunity to work with our customers on using performance and packaging to mitigate it, which then gets reflected in our volume growth and market share gains. I'm not going to read out each line item on a split of margins, but the structural difference between divisions tends to come down to the balance between packaging and paper. The UK, which stands out here, has also benefited from the acquisitions of Creo and TRM and was ahead of the curve in price recovery, given the weakness of sterling driving up prices earlier. You'll also see the point I raised earlier about the consistency of absolute profit versus the optics of margin during recovery of paper prices through selling prices. Turning to cash flow, we continue to focus on tight cash and capital management and benefit from working capital improvements in newly acquired businesses, particularly through putting their suppliers on our group payment terms. You can see from these bars that despite the cost of the Interstate acquisition, we're back to our target 2x net debt to EBITDA. We were overwhelmed by the response of our shareholders to the equity raising in June. A big thank you for all your support. This partially funded the deal and is reflected in our continued investment grade credit rating. What isn't shown in the cash flow is the value of the consideration shares issued to the sellers at completion, which also had a prudent effect on gearing. In order to both finance the deal and to create headroom in our banking facilities, and should the put option be exercised in the future, we raised €750 million for 7 years of 1.375% coupon and £250 million for 12 years at 2.875% coupon shortly after the equity raise. This is our usual technical guidance slide for the year to April 2018, and we're updating it at this stage because the one at the time of the 4 year didn't include the impact of Interstate being part of the business. So there's some changes here. Interstate will be part of the group for 8 months this year, hence these figures do not necessarily reflect the full year run rate. CapEx has gone up to £280 million, reflecting pretty much a full year run rate for Interstate, part of which will be adjusted back in the purchase price, and also an element of the integration capital and further investment opportunities in the core European business, which we brought forward due to our strong growth potential and the general macroeconomic environment. Depreciation will be between £175 and £185 million, up from previous guidance, as you'd expect. But please do note that, as I described earlier, Interstate depreciation pre the additional CapEx investment has been positively impacted by the opening balance sheet impairment of that energy operation, i.e. it's lower than you're expecting. Adjusting costs now reflect the transaction costs and fees relating to Interstate of around about £20 million in the period. And the remaining items, I won't read through, but I'm sure they're broadly as you would expect. As always, this is clearly my favourite slide, which requires no further narrative. Our dividend is a key measure of return to shareholders. Today we've announced an interim dividend of 4.9 pence, consistent with our progressive dividend policy. This matches the growth in earnings at actual exchange rates. So to conclude, this has been a financial period where we delivered our results as we expected, all in line with our financial metrics, despite severe cost pressures, and of course, with a great start from Interstate 2. I'm now going to hand you back to Miles.
Thank you, Adrian. And in my section, I want to talk firstly about the market that we're in and what's happening and some of our growth potential in Europe. And I then want to come on and talk about the US and interstate. It's just taking you through where we are, how we're seeing that market, further opportunities for growth there. So if I just start with the overall market. So as I've said, we're growing with our customers. And in our fibre-based, fully recyclable, fully sustainable packaging solution, we're seeing a number of real structural changes here. You'd have noticed that a lot of the larger FMCG companies, you could be looking at their top line and thinking that looks a little bit static. These are world-class companies, and I'm sure they'll come back. But what we're seeing is the emergence of a lot of new brands coming through. A number of these brands could be solely created on e-commerce. They bypass the bricks and mortar outlets. That's a full e-commerce solution. We're seeing, even with some of the more established brands, we're seeing shopping habits changing, so that shoppers are going to stores more frequently, and as demographics are changing and households are becoming smaller, pack sizes are reducing. So we're seeing a structural growth in the demand for packaging because of the smaller pack size, because of the more frequent shopping, because of the growth of e-commerce, because of the growth of these emerging brands coming through. So there are a number of structural drivers there. In addition to that, there's an ongoing topical debate about what does all this packaging mean for the environment. And as you've heard us say over many years, the sustainability of our solution is unparalleled. We're also Europe's largest recycler of fibre. We have our lorries and our vehicles travelling throughout Europe every day to pick up this fibre. We collect and trade over 6 million tonnes a year. So this gives the security to our customers that that packaging is going to be properly dealt with and be properly recycled. And as you know, it takes 14 days from the box to be collected, to making new paper, to making another box, to being back on shelves, 14 days, often within country. So you're not having to send that packaging halfway around the world to have it recycled. It's a wonderful model. It's a model that we lead and we promote, and it's one that's gaining traction. So there's a strong underlying growth to packaging, and in addition to that at DS Smith, we're also benefiting from some of our customers' trends. They increasingly want to consolidate their supply chain, So the solutions that they need can be consistently supplied across all of their operations. So again, in this half year, our growth with our pan-European customers, based on our unparalleled footprint across Europe, has been very strong. And those customers are looking to reduce the total cost of supply by improving the packaging. If you think about e-commerce, a lot of our customers and the analysis we're doing with them are showing that the delivery of their product in the last mile could be 20 to 30% of the total cost of that product delivered to that customer, including the cost of the product, 28%. So you can see how important logistics and the packaging of that product, so it arrives in perfect condition at a minimum cost, is so important to our customers. So some strong structural drivers there, and that's why over the years we have seen, despite the very difficult economic conditions in Europe, we've seen our growth in 2013-14 at 2.2%. That, of course, was one of the first full year of the SDA acquisition. For some of you here at the time, it doubled the size of the group. When we bought that business, it had been losing 3% volume per annum. It joined into DS Smith, and with the DS Smith, we're now pulling that business back into positive territory. That's why it had a 2.2%. Leading up to 3.1 in the following 2 years, 3.2 last year, but 3.5% in the second half of last year, and now 5.2%. The structural drivers of fibre-based packaging, the structural drivers of our exposure to that pan-European market, and undoubtedly an improving financial economic position in continental Europe. Still early days, but it's quite a strong trend across a number of our countries. All of our regions are in growth. So to back that, you know, we've seen very strong growth in Eastern Europe over a number of years. Romania is a market that has 22 million people. As a market, in terms of the population, it's the second country in Eastern Europe behind Poland. The economy is growing at over 5% per annum. Packaging is growing ahead of 5%, and we have consistently grown considerably ahead of that. So we want more exposure to this market because our customers want us to have more exposure there. So we've announced the intention to buy a business, a family-owned business. We've been talking to them for quite a long time, looking back to our first meeting in Bucharest 18 months ago. It's taken a while to bring it to completion, but that's completely normal for these types of businesses. Unparalleled access to the company. So we feel very confident about what we're buying. An excellent owner. It fits extremely well with our existing operations, which you can see on this map. We've built our Eastern European business over the last 5 years with that FD acquisition, with the Durapac acquisition, with the acquisition of Carlton Pack in Greece, and now with this further acquisition. So we have a very strong, a market-leading position in this region. This asset includes a brand-new, lightweight paper machine. We're growing so fast that we do need access to paper in the southeast of Europe. There isn't any real independent paper capacity there. And it has lightweight paper, which we need for our performance packaging solutions that are working so well with our customers. It's immediately in earnings enhancing. The synergies are excellent in the way it fits with us. And we're really looking forward to completing in January 2018. But it's not just about acquisition, it's also about organic investments. We built a new plant in Germany in Erlingen last year. Many of you have been to that factory. We're delighted with the response we've had from our customers there. That factory is filling up very nicely. And on the back of that success, we're announcing our intention to build two new box plants, one in southern Spain and one in Poland. The markets there are growing very strongly. We have been growing very strongly as well. We need this capacity, but we also need our technology there. We're finding that as we invest more in our solutions around the performance packaging, digital print, etc., it's not every acquisition that can offer us those opportunities. And in these cases, the financial returns and the speed, it is better that we invest and grow rather than acquire. We're very focused on the returns. They should be above cost of capital within 12 months of the factory opening. and they should have a payback of between 5 and 6 years. That's ahead of an acquisition, but obviously it's a slightly slower ramp up as you build the asset, but you don't get the earnings immediately. But we're very excited about those. Turning on to Interstate. You know, we announced this acquisition at the time of our full year results back in June. It completed at the end of August, a few months ago. The US market's strong. It has some very good suppliers there already. People you have a lot of respect for. They built a strong market. It's a very high margin market, and it's growing quite strongly. It also has a very, very attractive cost base. If you want access to craft papers, which are made from virgin fibre, the southern states of the US, we thought it was the best place in the world to produce, and what we've seen is absolutely the case. The trees grow very quickly in that warm environment, so a really pro-business environment. Energy costs are very attractive. We're delighted to have entered that market. As I said, in terms of the employees, is how we join together, how collectively we make a stronger business, not only for them, but for us as well in Europe. The integration is ahead of expectations. The degree of understanding and cooperation here is better than we thought. And the implementation plans are well advanced and are now being implemented, starting to be implemented, and the first one is very encouraging. So, if we turn to the financial performance, the packaging growth is ahead of the group, it's above 5.2%. We've had some very encouraging discussions there, and the EBITDA for the 2 months is 15 million. If we look at the current run rate of EBITDA, it's above $150 million. If you think about how much you pay for the business at $1,376, you'll see that's a multiple that's just less than 9x. Pre-synergy, EBITDA multiple. We said to our investors this was an attractive asset. We said it had an attractive return, and we're now starting to see that come back. And repay the confidence our shareholders have given in us. So at the time of the acquisition, we said there are three real issues that we're trying to address here. Opportunities that we think we can get hold of. Firstly, that strong customer pull. Secondly, the global supply chain benefit, how we build a stronger business by having access to the US. And of course, the financial returns. So on the customer pull, these are the slides that we put up back in June about why we wanted to enter the market, about the performance packaging opportunity, how we can reduce the grammages of the packaging that's used in the United States, how the retail ready, how the US, our customers, the big retailers, want to see the solutions that are in Europe for retail ready packaging, how you can slide their products straight onto retailer shelves, which significantly reduce in-store costs. They improve the presentation of the products as well. And last year, that huge growth in e-commerce. We said these were the opportunities. And when we got over there, we started talking to our customers. That's exactly what's happening. Talking to them, they really want to see this performance packaging come through. We're talking to people there who have operations in Europe, and they cannot understand why the box in the US is sometimes double the weight of the Europeans. They know what we supply them there, and the reaction to us has been everything that we wanted it to be. It's exactly the same as shelf-ready packaging and e-commerce. So we're seeing quite a bit of growth with the existing customer base. That's to bring our new customers. We've already got customers there, and we're talking to them. And the reaction to them is very positive. I've talked about the volume growth, and we are very encouraged in the future. And I have to say, with our global customers, it's early days, but very, very encouraging. It's good news for the whole of the US market.
and we determine to be part of that. When we turn on to the global supply chain benefits, we said we want to improve something, how we can strengthen our business in a way nobody else does. And we talked about the opportunity to start flowing material between the US and Europe, bringing it across the Atlantic, because of course what we found is bringing it across the Atlantic is a bit cheaper than bringing it from Northern Europe down to Southern Europe, as an example. It's actually a lower cost than taking it from the Southern States up to New Jersey, etc. That flow across the Atlantic is everything that we thought it was going to be. And the flows of product between the East Coast of the US and Europe is starting to work very well for us. And on procurement as well, standard specifications, this is where we are starting to see the opportunity to benefit from the expertise we've built in Europe and applying it to the supply base in the US with their better attractive cost base. It's looking, very positive. And that's why on the synergies, we've increased the target. We thought it was there, but we had some reservations, so we put a contingency. We're now starting to release that contingency. So from 25 to 30 million. The integration team that's doing the work is the team we've had for many years. It's been expanded a little bit because we're having to work on a number of fronts. It's a proven track record, and I have to say the work that's been done, being perfectly honest, I think it's about the best we've seen today. Because of the growth in the market, we have a paper long business here. It's great we can bring it back to Europe, but that is an exposure for our shareholders. We're determined to close that long paper position out. We see the growth in the organic business, but we're also seeing the opportunity with our customers to put down further box capacity, two plants, circa $40 million each. Those plants together for growth will take out that paper long position. The markets are very strong, but we're absolutely determined to do that. The financial returns are very similar to those that I've just outlined in Europe. So we're starting to build our position in the east of Europe. There are also acquisition opportunities there. We have to demonstrate to our shareholders why this business model works. We hope to be doing that, but there are some very attractive further acquisition targets once we've demonstrated how strong this business model is. So in summary, we're winning in the marketplace. We're consistently taking share. We're succeeding with our customers, and we're very pleased and very grateful for that. We've delivered against all of our financial targets, the results are absolutely in line. We're raising our dividend by 6%. The US is going well. There are a lot of opportunities for us to grow further on the back of that structural demand here for packaging. And as I said, we've got a big Christmas coming. So at the end of this conference, we'll be back. We'll be back at work and making sure the second half of 2017, which we're entering, has been very good momentum, is every bit of the success that we expect it to be. Thank you very much. We're very happy to take questions that anybody may have. Alex. Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's fine.
Good morning, it's Barry Dixon from Davy. Three questions if I could. Firstly, just on box prices, from kind of going through the numbers, it looks like you've got about a 3.5% price increase today. You might say if that's broadly in the region. You previously indicated that you used to get 8-10%. Is that still the target? Secondly, you announced recently an increase in recycled containerboard prices, I think of €60 a ton from January 1st. Are you confident that we're going to see another round of paper price increases, and then will that sort of necessitate you having to push through further box price increases in 2018? And again, how confident are you around that? I suppose in the context of the demand environment, it would seem likely that that's going to be successful. And then maybe finally a question for Adrian. On the capital employed base, there's a $666 million write-down on the capital employed base in the period, which obviously had a significant impact on the return on capital. You might just sort of run through the elements of that. I think there's some currency there, but also some other. You might just explain what's driving that write down in the capital employed base. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Barry. The box prices are actually slightly today better than the 3.5. If we think about the increases that have come through, the last one was in August. Obviously, our half year end is October. So we previously said we need to get at least 8%. We're better than 3.5. In fact, on box is slightly 4. It's exactly where we're expecting it to be. And that's on the back of very strong demand for our packaging as well. So we fully expect to recover the properties. We don't see any reason why we won't. I do think that the demand is very strong. We have announced a further increase in paper. We'll obviously have to see. Paper pricing is always uncertain, but we expect that increase to go through, and then that obviously has to be recovered, but on the back of very strong demand. So, we expect these increases to go through on paper, but it's always an uncertain market.
Yeah, Barry, I'll have to get back to you on. You take me through your rec on capital employed. I'll go through it with you, or we go through it afterwards. But of course, we've had the acquisition coming in for an opening balance sheet movements, and there'll be FX. But I can take you through that. It's not something that's on my own. But
yeah.
Let's go.
I think it's taken a bit more, so I don't understand it.
Well, it's just on the last note of the reconciliation of the return of capital indeed from the second point. We can chat about that.
Thanks.
It's Alex Lees here from JP Morgan Cabinet. Just firstly, I wonder if you can give us a sense for CapEx for the new box plant investment. I think you said $40 million each for the US ones, but just ones in Europe as well, and when that will phase. And then secondly, just two on Interstate. Firstly, I wonder if you could give a sense for whether you think the very strong volume growth has been to do with revenue synergies at this stage. Do you think there's more to come there? And then on cost synergies, obviously good to see an upgrade. I think you mentioned that you are starting to release the contingency. I wonder if you'd like to quantify what the contingency is and how much more to be released.
Yeah, last question is one of my chairman keeps asking me. Yeah, on the CapEx on the new box plants, ultimately, one of the European box plants is going to need about €50 million. That's when it's up and running fully. Obviously, it's not up and running fully from day one, so you have to put a certain infrastructure around it, corrugator, etc., but then you start to build the other assets as their demand is. It's slightly higher in Europe because you tend to have more automation in Europe because of the higher labour costs. So it's a slightly lower cost in the US. They're typically $40 million in the US, maybe €50 million euros in Europe. But it does take a little while to build up on that. But as I said, when the factory opens, it should be above cost of capital within 12 months as we start to build the volume. If you go into year three, then you're up to return on capital, which should be about 20%, and you've got a payback in about 5 to 6 years. And in terms of that profile of return, it isn't particularly different between the US and Europe. There's no technology for us. What we're doing is really selling into a market our technology. not every acquisition can offer this, so we do need, so these new box plants are quite important for us from that point of view. As I said, the capital solution, things we know, you can move the assets around. Some of the US investment comes on moving machinery from Europe to the US. These are rather clunky, and you ship them over and you reinstall them. So quite a bit of capital that moves around the group. The volume in the US, obviously the first thing is with your existing customers there, they have a nice customer group. It is, they have a lot of local customers, they have some larger customers, and some of those larger customers have been very encouraging with us. And that volume growth is partly as a result of us entering the market. It has significantly increased their volume since we announced the acquisition. It's been quite noticeable. And the response of some of their existing customers, you know, they're there today, and it's very easy for them to switch production to us. Or in our case, actually start to want to see a new offering around the shelf, really, that they hadn't been able to get before. So that's been very encouraging. I said on the cost synergies, you know, we're here to hit the targets that we've set, that our shareholders know that it's consistent delivery, that it's if they put money into us, they're going to get the returns. Being very honest, there is a race there, and we do hold contingency back. Because things can happen, they don't expect. But our shareholders expect us to reduce the profits. So there is a contingency, and as time goes on, then we'll be re-evaluating that, new opportunities will emerge. But equally, there's still risks there that we are working through. But we are very comfortable with the target that we have set there. I should say a lot of it comes from the way that we're working. So how can we generate 30 million of synergies in a company we have no operations anywhere near? It's a completely new market. You know, ask, what is it about us? Well, over the years, we've put a lot into how we operate around best practice. You know, when we acquire businesses, don't just sort of leave them and do a bit of procurement around it. This is about real integration. And as we become larger, we're able to build world-class best practice because we have hundreds of factories to compare to, and that gives us a competitive advantage. So we've gone to this company, and it's a super company. It had a wonderful family ownership, but they were 12 packaging sites. That's what they had. They don't have hundreds like we have. So it's how you work with them and say, well, let's look at your waste levels. Let's look at your labour efficiency. Let's look at your procurement. Let's look at your logistics. Let's look at the way you run your papers. And let's work together on what's the best opportunity there. How can we optimise the performance? How have we been able to work with them? We bring it all together in a plan over a number of months. That work concluded last week. And we can see that we can generate these benefits. And frankly, they're already starting. There's not much in the 15 million because of the first 2 months. But that's why we feel confident about this. And our shareholders can feel confident in the returns.
Barry, back to your question. I think obviously you managed to slip one between back and bed to me there, because I've written a lot of questions and not on capital employed. That's the averaging effect. I've just reread the note. So you're taking the closing capital employed that includes obviously everything from all the acquisitions as of the period end, and that's the impact of rolling that as an LTM averaging back. So that will get smaller obviously as you get the 4 years down to zero. It's just because it's reconciling capital employed as a balance sheet date to average capital employed, which is in our metric. There's not a write-off or anything like that.
Thank you.
That was tricky opener. Thank you for that.
Hi, Ross Sanchez at Berenberg. Can you just kind of discuss on a 5-year view, do you see yourself primarily as a corrugated packaging firm in 5 years? Do you get any desire to go into other areas of packaging such as plastic? secondly, what percentage of the overall business would you class as e-commerce now, please? growing very quickly, but what the position of exact number is possible to disclose. And thirdly, have you reassessed your view on the ideal paper hedge, given the kind of movements and the volatility? Has that changed how you think about the world? Thanks.
First one, we are primarily a corrugated business. The reason we think is because that's the place to be. And we think that market has great growth opportunity. And we're at various rumours, and that one took us a bit by surprise. So we think we're going to be a corrugated business going forward, and I don't think we'll see much change in that. Some of the other rumours are, they are for coming today, but I said, could you spell that company's name for me? Right, okay. e-commerce is growing strongly. If we had a capital markets day a while ago, 8-9 months ago, and we said if you look at the total e-commerce exposure, that's not just sort of e-tailers, this is also retailers and branders who are using it, and if we look at the total proportion of our business, it's somewhere around the 10%. And we have been growing strongly there. It's a big growth driver. We expect it to be going forward. The question is, where do we think retail can get to in e-commerce? What proportion of total retail do we think it will be? Let's just say in Europe, the last year it was 8% of goods sold on e-commerce. Could it get to 20%? 30%? 40%, 50%. If you listen to some of the retailers, they think it's going to go further. If you listen to bricks and mortar suppliers, they think it's going to come out at sort of between 20% and 30%. But whoever you look at, it's going to be a massive growth engine. And you can see that structural driver for growth. The beauty of e-commerce is not just a volume. For us, it's a margin opportunity because the quality of the packaging. It has more opportunity for us to add value to it than in traditional packaging for bricks and mortar, because your product has to be delivered to your home, so the content has to be very well protected. They need better quality packaging. The shopping experience, when you decide whether or not you want to keep that item that you bought, bearing in mind that 80% of fashion is returns that's bought on the e-commerce. So it's about the whole shopping experience, and that's about the packaging. So you can see huge opportunities for us. So for us to say, let's hope it gets to 30%, and we're aligning our business behind that, so you're not going to have stranded assets with us. Or people say, well, yeah, I mean, I know it's a growth driver, but you know, we didn't think it was very good. As you say, it's not very good when it's going to be probably over 30% market. It's up to us as the leading company to make it a success, to show the value that we can add to our customers and get that value back into DS Smith, and that's exactly what's happening. So we're pleased with this driver. I don't think it's going to go away, and for us we see it as a growth and a margin opportunity. It's really very, very exciting. When a brand new brand comes to you, they say we're going to start this up. We're not going bricks and mortar, we're going solely e-commerce, and it's all around the packaging. And you see that brand grow and grow and grow and grow. And you know that it's going to be taken over by a strategic at some point, and they're going to want to learn from that experience, and we're their sole supplier. I mean, this is the engine that's feeding this e-commerce opportunity, and modestly we're saying that we are the enabler of e-commerce, but it's a very exciting place. That's a long answer to your question. Look, we're growing, and we believe a short paper position is right. We don't want to have a long paper position for all the reasons that everybody knows in the history of the industry. It's one of the reasons that I think we've been successful, and we're going to keep it that way. The US market is slightly different. There is far less independent capacity. I think there it's going to be more mixed, but in Europe you'll see us maintain a short paper position. Some differences between regions. If you're in Eastern Europe, or probably over Siberia, less independent capacity, so you need a little bit more yourself. Obviously around Central Europe, there's a lot of independent capacity, more capacity coming on stream. We've seen the ups and downs that are continuously happening. So you'll see us maintain a short position, but with some slight regional differences, because we believe that gives our shareholders the best return on capital. And I'll say nothing has changed in our opinion, and we challenge ourselves. Adrian, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I'll say the same, Mike. Constantly, we evaluate, particularly within the regions in Europe. I mean, if you take continental Europe, or central continental Europe, there's an abundance of supply. There's lots and lots of different shows of people adding new capacity relatively regularly. It's a good market to be a buyer in. Nothing will fundamentally change.
More questions? Okay, well, as always, we'd like to thank you, everybody. We've good morning growth. We're winning with our customers. We're recovering our prices. Our acquisitions are going well. And we're announcing we're going to grow further, partly through organic investment. Let's get back to making Christmas. Thank you very much indeed for your time. Yeah.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now replace your handset. Thank you.